Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Les Brown's Motivational Monday Night Call, your place for inspiration and motivation with world-renowned speaker, coach, author, and top international speaker on the planet, none other than Mr. Brown himself. My name is Stacey N.C. Grant, Empowerment Specialist and Les Brown Motivational Platinum Speaker, and excited to be your host, excited to introduce those of you who are joining us for the first time to Les Brown's Motivational Monday Night Experience. At the end of the call, you'll hear announcements of how you can stay connected with Mr. Brown and his platinum speakers and be able to find and interact with him on social media. But I want everyone to get their pens and their paper out, put on their seatbelt, and get ready for the ride because Mr. Brown is about to take off and take flight. Mr. Brown, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
I'm better than good, better than most, sometimes even better than that. I'm great and grateful.
I know that's right. Let the record show.
Yes, indeed. So I'm ready to go.
All right. I'm putting my seatbelt on, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. Holmes said, "A few can touch the magic string, and fame is proud to win them. Alas, for those that never sing, but die with their music in them." Alas, for those that never sing, but die with their music still in them. I had the opportunity to speak at a celebration of the life of Mr. Leroy Washington, a man who spoke to me at a time in my life when I was struggling to believe in myself, to find out my direction of where I wanted to go in life, a man who, for all intents and purposes, became the father that I never had from a distance. And this man spoke to me, met me my junior year in high school, and when he spoke to me, a man who I'd been admiring and following him around and always wanted to be in the auditorium or anywhere near him when he was training and rehearsing students to participate in the various plays that he was directing or when he was grooming students to participate in the Elks Oratorical Contest, that I admired his skill. I hope one day to be like him. I wanted to be able to influence and direct people and teach them how to tell their story and how to take a role and translate it and how to perform and create special moments. And so Mr. Washington, who passed week before last, when I got a chance to speak at the celebration of his life on this past Saturday, it was an experience for me. I just sat there reflecting and thinking about our lives. I met him when I was at a stage in my life not knowing exactly who I was going to become and what direction my life would take. And I stayed up all night the night before Friday trying to think about what would I say that would be representative, that would be honorable, that would point to the impact and the influence that this man had on me. How could I position a speech and a message that would be something that would be reflective of his eloquence and how he spoke? I remember him saying, "Les Brown, act well your part, young man, for all there all the honor lies." I remember seeing him working with Anthony Sweeting, who's Dr. Anthony Sweeting now, the most talented and gifted speaker that I'd ever seen in my life. And there, when I came in, and I came in just in time when they're going to introduce me, that on the program, his two star students, myself and Anthony Sweeting, we called Anthony when we were kids Bundles. And Anthony, he came after me. And let me share something with you. I usually like to close out on a special occasion. I like to be the last speaker. because I believe that I can bring it like nobody else. Not bragging, but I know how to bring it. I know how to speak on the occasion. And in this particular instance, I was not selected to be the last speaker. And I can tell you, I was so grateful. Let me tell you something up in here. Anthony Sweeting, when I was in high school, if you hear me speak it, if you hear him, you will see that how he has influenced my speaking style. No one, ladies and gentlemen, I have some power. I have some energy when I speak. Trust me on that. I'm whipped cream when it comes to speaking and compared to Anthony Sweeting. And so I came up and I spoke. They gave me 3 minutes. And I said, I'm going to milk these 3 minutes. But when they called on Anthony and Anthony had to speak, I was reminded that when I saw him speak when I was in high school, he was the greatest speaker I'd ever heard in my life. And he reminded me that he was still the greatest. He didn't have to tell me, but everybody knew. Now, they laughed and they responded when I spoke and they gave me a tremendous round of applause. But when Anthony spoke, everybody forgot about Les Brown. When Anthony spoke, Les Brown forgot about Les Brown. When Anthony spoke, and he wrote a piece, a tribute to Mr. Washington, which was an incredible honor. And when he spoke, no one can give it like Anthony. When he spoke, no one can deliver with the raw power that he delivered that. Oh, my God. I sat there. I got goose pimples. I was overwhelmed. It reminded me of our childhood. We used to, when Anthony came to the house, we used to play bicycle. We didn't have any bicycle. We were poor. So he would go to the foot of the bed, I'd be at the other foot, and we put our feet together, and we would do bicycle like we ride the bicycle. We had our imaginary bicycle. And I was just thinking about that, and Anthony, his power. I know that we did Mr. Washington justice. I talked to his wife today, and she said everybody was talking about you and Anthony in the tribute you did for my husband. And I thank you so much, his daughter, his grandchildren. It was quite an experience. I want to revisit something that I opened with. That most people go to their graves with their music still in them. I spoke about the fact that Mr. Washington had a gift. He had an eye. He could see something that others couldn't see. I talked about, and I had no idea that Nat Ray was in the audience, a young man that we had a play called 12 Angry Men. And Mr. Washington selected Nat Ray as one of the 12 angry men. And all of us wondered, why would you get him? He's a football player. He's not a thespian. He's not an actor. Why would you get him? But Mr. Washington could see what we couldn't see. And even during the rehearsals, he saw something that we didn't see. We didn't see what Mr. Washington saw. But we were all working on our part. And then came the night of the play, and we saw for the first time what Mr. Washington saw. We saw a character that was in that raid that he brought up that night, and he dominated that stage. Mr. Washington could see what we couldn't see. He had a trained eye. I believe I got that gift from him. Many times I have people saying, why would you say that person could speak, or why would you accept that person as a client? I could see. I don't think anybody else has gotten that from Mr. Washington. I watched him. I studied him. I have some speakers who study me like that, and that they have tapped into what I tapped into. He had the ability to see the gift in people, but not only to see it, but he had the ability to pull it out. he saw something in me. And he had the ability to call it forth, to pull it out. And Mike Williams developed it, and Mike Williams took it to a whole new level. And it was quite an experience of being in the audience, thinking about him when I first saw him when I was 15 years old. And I did not know when I spoke with him 3 weeks ago that I would be speaking at his celebration, his transition services, 3 weeks later. And I remember there's a movie that Clint Eastwood was in, and one of the characters said to Clint Eastwood, he's dead. He died. And Clint Eastwood said, "We all got it coming, kid. At some time or another, we all got it coming." And the takeaway for me, as I sat in the audience, as I looked at Anthony, and as he spoke with the power and rawness that I saw when Mr. Washington first directed Anthony in the play Nat Turner, and the rawness and the power that he had then, there he stood on stage, and at 69, he still has that power. And that there's some stuff that I'm determined that I'm not going to take to my grave with me. I said to Anthony afterwards, it's been a long time since we've seen each other. I said, "Anthony, I still believe in you, and I love you very much." He said, "I know, Leslie. I know you do. You've always recognized my gift, even when I did not." I said, "We got to get together. There's some stuff that we got to do." And at this stage of my life, just looking at, in 3 weeks, I went to the funeral of my urologist's daughter, who was 12 years old, Mr. Washington, who was 87 years old. We're all going to leave here. Here's the message that I'd like to share with you. Aurelia said, "Stop living like you have 1,000 years to live." I remember I was at an event, and the late Frank Sinatra was there at that time. Gladys Knight and I were married. I think it was the second year of our marriage, and was at this event, and I was so happy to meet him. I admired him. Nobody could say I did it my way, the way that he did it. I really admired how Frank Sinatra did that. But something he said at the table, talking to someone, he said, "Live each day as if it were your last, because someday it will be." And I think that it's incumbent of all of us, that I believe that as we know we all got it coming, we all are going to leave here, that as I talked to Willie Jolly today, who wrote "A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback," he said all of us are on the highway of life, headed toward death, but nobody want to get in the speed lane. And I believe as we look at ourselves and look at our gifts and look at our dreams, that we have a gift. We have something. We have gifts, the things that we are supposed to do. Mr. Washington came to Miami, Florida, in Liberty City and Overtown at Booker T. Washington and Northwestern Senior High School. And he had something to do. He gave these kids in the ghetto, these kids that had been called inferior by the Miami Herald and all the local white media. He gave us hope. He taught us the value of effective communication skills. He taught us the value of developing your mind. He taught us the value of holding yourself to a higher standard. And as we begin to look at ourselves and look into the future, look at where we are right now, that what will your legacy be? Whose life will you touch? Whose life will you change? I believe that the reason that I was able to beat cancer this last time, like, was a little punk, because it is when it comes to me, is because God has given me grace, that there's still some other lives that I'm supposed to touch, that he was saying when I went to the oncologist and they looked, and the metastases that they saw when I was last there, they didn't see this time, that there's still work for me to do. There's still people who haven't heard my voice. There's still people that I haven't trained yet. There's still people that I have not got a chance to pull their gift out of them, like Mr. Washington pulled the gift that he saw in me out of me. I believe that he willed himself to die. When I called him a few weeks ago and I said, "Hi, may I speak to Mr. Washington?" He said, "Who's this?" I said, "It's me, sir. It's Leslie." "Leslie?" "Yes, sir. It's Neem." And then Monice, his daughter, took the phone and says, "Daddy has Alzheimer's. It has just gotten stronger in the last few days." I was in a state of shock. I sat there with a phone and I cried. I said, "Monice, he didn't know my voice. He's always known my voice." She said, "Sometimes he does, Leslie." She said, "Sometimes he doesn't." Knowing him as I did, I knew he would not want to live like that. He had a profound memory, a great voice. We used to talk about a lot of things, and my son, Calvin, used to say, "Mr. Washington still has his memory. He's still sharp, still sharp." And I implore you to ask yourself, what do I want? What do I really want? I got a letter from someone the other day, an email that says, "I was born to speak. Please help me. Speaking gives me life. Please help me." And I think that that's what Mr. Washington saw in me. I love to help people. I love to speak. I believe that you were not born to work for a living, but to live your making. And living your making will make your living. And people that I talk to from time to time, and I ask them, "What do you do for a living?" Then I ask them, "What are you living to do?" And they find that to be a struggle, because most people have not considered that. Most people have not thought about that. Most people are not living from their dream. What are you living to do? What do you want to do? Is it art? Is it music? Is it business? What do you want to do? Hello? Stacy, are you there?
Yes, Les, Stacey. We are hearing you loud and clear.
Did you hear my words when I said, "What do you want to do?"
I sure do.
Okay, good. That's because my phone made, I heard a sound, and I thought maybe the call was dropped. Okay, very good.
Okay.
And
no,
so, yes. And so, okay, so let me go ahead. So what do you want to do? When I saw Anthony, who spoke with that power and the voice of Nat Turner that I saw in him, I knew that among the things on my bucket list, among the things that I must do is to do this piece that we will do with him, The Return of Nat Turner. That's a play that we both love. He's got that voice. He's written that character, and it's been my assignment to do that again. We did it in Columbus, Ohio many years ago and in Miami, and that's something we must do before we leave the planet. What do you want to do? I know that as I look at my life and look at where I am right now, and as I raised the bar on myself when I left there, as I was thinking about and reflecting on how much he changed my life, and he spoke to a lot of students, but of all those students, the thousands of students at Booker T. Washington High School, that whose lives he touched and spoke to, the thousands of students at Miami Northwestern Senior High School in Liberty City that he taught and spoke to, but there were two, only two, that really heard him at a deep level and took it on to speak to people around the world. That is every time I speak, I mention his name. Every life that I touch, that he is using as a vessel to touch them. And there's a work, I believe, that we were not just born to go to school, to get out of school, and raise a family, and then just die. No. No. Struggling, robbing Peter to pay Paul. No. Just trying to make it. No. You are made in the likeness and image of God. You've been given authority and dominion over everything on the face of the earth, even if your life does not reflect that. Even if you're behind on your bills. Even if you don't have a place to lay your head. Even if you're going through a traumatic divorce. You've been given something. There's something that you're supposed to do. There's a work for you to do. Just like Mr. Washington and the Super Bowl. And I want you to go to my Facebook tonight. I wrote a piece called Why Not You? The quarterback, Wilson, said his father said to him, why not you? Why not you? You should be successful. People are going to be successful. Somebody's going to win the Super Bowl. Why not you? And I say to you that there are people who have lost their jobs, who've gotten behind on their bills, who've gone through the embarrassment and the shame of bankruptcy and foreclosure, and yet and still, they did not give up. They kept on fighting to get back to the top, and they did. Why not you? There are people that a doctor looked at them and said, you are terminally ill. You've got three months to live, and years later, they're still here. Why not you? There are people who have lost everything, who've been down on their luck, and they didn't have two dimes to roll together, but yet and still, they didn't allow their circumstances and the situation of where they were to define their future, and they pulled it out. Why not you? Why not you? Life every day to all of us is a Super Bowl. Somebody's going to win. Why not you? Why not you live from your dream? Why not you decide that I'm going to control my destiny? Why not you decide I'm going to live a legacy rather than liabilities? Why not you decide I'm going to make my life count? Why not you decide that when you go, because of the impact of your life, the undertaker will cry. Why not you? Traffic will be backed up because of the lives that you touched and the people whose lives were transformed because they heard you or read your works or saw your work or touched by your impact. People came out to celebrate you. Why? Why? Why not you? Why not you? You're listening to me because there's something in you. There's a work for you. You've been given grace. There's a gift in you. And if you take it to your grave, if it's buried within you, if it's in the casket when you leave here, rather than and be exposed to the world. That's maybe the rather port royal flower has bloomed unceasingly and wasted sweetness upon the cold desert air. That many a talented and gifted persons have gone unnoticed and the world never had a chance to be exposed to their genius. Maybe that's why the ladies told God to reach the point of death. Only to realize that you've never lived. Only to realize that you've never scraped the surface of your potential. Why not you? Mr. Washington, you decided you would be the one to come into the ghetto of Liberty City and Overtown, touch some young kids' lives. Marcus Smith, Toby Gadsden, former classmates we got together. Reggie Burton, who was one of his star students, who came in a wheelchair, had a severe stroke, a quadriplegic, but still had his fire. And we stood there and said, boy, he had something in mind for us. He was determined we were not going to go to jail. He was determined that we were not going to get hooked on drugs. He was determined that we were going to be something. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was a man. He was a man's man. And he taught us how to be responsible, how to hold ourselves, and how to make difference with our lives. You have something special. You have greatness within you. You were chosen by God. God had something in mind. He saw something in you. Give me a call if you are chosen. You've been chosen for something. Some people are going to do something with their gifts, their talents, their abilities, their skills, their voice, their mind, their talents, and make a difference that will be felt by generations yet unborn. Why not you? Why not you? Mr. Washington, we celebrate you on this expression of how you live your life on a spiritual level, and so it is. Stacy?
Woo-wee! Why not you? Well, I know what I'm going to do, Mr. Brown. You have a legacy to leave. Woo! You have inspired and fired us all up to not leave here without using every single gift and talent. And I say to you, Les, once again, that we all share our love and condolences on the loss of your great hero, but you paid such tribute to him by the way you've lived your life and that you've used your voice to do the very thing that he saw in you. So I continue to salute you and thank you on behalf of all of the Platinums who work with you, who love you, who are inspired by what you do, how you pour into us, and truly an example of every word you spoke tonight.
Thank you so much. That was quite an experience, but I tell you, Stacy and Dr. Anthony Sweeney went up on that stage in that church and stood at that microphone. I said, God, I know you're still in the blessing business because I don't have to come after that. Yeah. He took out the dress up. Yeah, everybody's just looking around and said, Bundle still got that. Bundle got that thing, that it factor. We call him Bundle. He's with Dr. Sweeney there. Bundle from Good Bread Alley, Bucket the Blood. He used to kill so many people where he lived. They called it Bucket the Blood. You know, to go shooting and cutting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and avoid the weekend rush. We came up in the alley. In the alley. So it was quite an experience to see him speak, and when I talk to people about him, there are people who just enamored by style of speaking, but when he speaks, when he came there, everybody saw him. That's good. He's recognized by the top organizations of the world, National Speakers, Toastmasters. And they say he's the leading speaker, but you know who number one is. And they didn't lie. I know. I don't have nothing for that. I tell you, there's never been a speaker that I could not come after. You hear me? I've come after Sarah Kahn. I've come after. I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I didn't have to come after that. But they positioned it right. They knew how to bring it. They knew. And he brought it. You hear me? He finished it. It was done. It was a great celebration. And so my goal is to live more intensely. I know that everything is happening as it should. And I've been given grace because there's more work I'm supposed to do. And I tell you, I'm going back to Liberty City in Miami. I'm going to do a summer program there.
I got to go back. I got to do something there in Liberty City, Miami. I'm going to do something in Detroit. And I'm going to do something in Columbus, Ohio. I got a speaker I'm working with. I'm Danielle Alexander, who's a new partner speaker that you're going to meet, who's sold $150 million in real estate in the past 11 years. You're going to meet her. She's a powerhouse. I'm going to do some work in Cleveland, Detroit, and I'm in Atlanta, where my daughter is their owner. I'm going to do something in Atlanta. But my goal is, I got to go. I saw so much craziness while I was in Miami. Young men who don't have a clue of who they are. And I'm talking about there must be a contest called Who Can Sag the Lowest? Who can pull their pants down the lowest? And I'm telling you, I saw a guy whose pants was not only was it below his butt, it was below the line on his boxer shorts. I mean, it's probably just 1 inch above his knees. You hear me? Walking wide-legged. And it's there's some things you see that you shake your head or say, what state of mind do you have to be in to do this? But there's some things that your mouth just drop open and hit the floor, and there's no words to describe it. And there's a level of craziness and insanity. When you got young men who are our future walking around looking like that at a time when we have a president who dresses with class and articulate and the most powerful and respected and revered man on the planet, and you've got young men walking around as if they have not an ounce of consciousness. I looked at them and I got upset with myself because this level of insanity happened on my watch. If I pointed at them, I noticed I had three fingers pointing at myself when I said to Moniz, Mr. Washington's daughter, I said, can you believe that? And then I sat there and said, Mr. Washington didn't point that out. He worked with it. He worked with us. We had our own level of insanity. I remember going to the store and getting some Compline and coming home and putting it in my hair, trying to get some waves. And that Compline stopped burning, and I tried to put my hair in the sink, and Anthony already had his hair in the sink, trying to wash it out of his hair, and then I tried to put my hair in the toilet because it was on fire from that Compline. I remember putting Oscar skin tone cream on my skin, trying to get light, trying to look like a high yellow. I remember Mama, the way to stop us from drinking coffee, don't drink coffee. Why, Mama, could coffee make you black? Well, I don't want to get that. You know? We had our own levels that everybody had a process of Jerry Carroll. And Dashiki, we all looking crazy. 2 foot afros look like like our barbers died. You know, we all have a level of insanity. Every generation, when they have this stuff. And so, this group here, they're taking it to another level. And I got to go up in there. But for the grace of God, had it not been for Mr. Washington, I would be among those craziness. And so, I got to go. Because some of them hear my voice. I remember a young man named Shemizie. And this young man is from Nigeria. He lives here. And we were together in speaker training in L.A. And he's around 26. And he lives in Las Vegas. And we're working together and striking a partnership. And it's just this. He can go get him. This is the young man that I'm going to pour myself into. But there's a more. There's a more. Shemizie is going to bring him to me. There's a more that I can get. And that's what we got to do. This is finished. I'm definitely cancer-free because of God's grace and mercy. And I believe that the transition of this solution is saying to me, Brown, you got it coming. Death's talking to you too. You know, the undertaker sits outside your house and he's keeping the motor running. You'll be in there one day too. You know, you better get busy. you better get busy. It's going to be a while now. It's going to be a while, but you better be busy because they all have an expiration date. And there's a season, as Paul said, as Solomon said, there's a season for everything. Time to live and time to die. You know, so this is my season to train speakers, to tell my story, to speak. That's why I'm going to India and Japan and about 15 other countries. And so I'm excited. I'm excited. I believe that there was a part of him that the grave cannot hold, the casket cannot contain. And that's the spirit of who he was as a man. That spirit is now in me and Anthony. We're going to take it to another level.
I know you will, and you know, New York is also on the list of places where you're going, and you know.
Oh, yes, I can live with Anthony and Kim. We're going to be doing a training in New York, and I told them to reach out to you.
Yes, she called me earlier today, so we're not going, and I'm going to text you my son's performance for MLK. And he said, Mom, did you send it to the left? And I totally forgot.
Please send that to me, because if I'm not speaking, I want to fly up there and see him, because I know he's got his eye on me. He's always been looking at me, so I'm coming to you to tell him I ain't scared of him. I am not scared of him, please, period. Okay? Thank you. Let him know.
I will tell him.
If he doesn't know, you better ask somebody. The open left ain't scared of him.
Indeed. Well, this was a wonderful presentation, Les. I'm going to give everybody the Facebook page so they can go and see your post and interact and find out how they can also connect with the Platinum Speakers, because, you know, we have another call coming up and you need to rest off in between because you brought it tonight. And you know what,
Thank
Les?
You.
Maybe we should have Dr. Sweden come on as a special guest on one of the calls.
You know, that would be something. Yes, they need to hear him. But see, I don't know if he's going to bring it like that. I wish he would. You know what we're going to do? I tell you what we need to do, because I don't know who I asked to do the call next week. Week after next, don't give him time, because you have to give him time to get ready. I'm going to do an interview with Nat Turner. See, you've never heard that before, have you?
Well, I heard a little bit of it when we were doing that training in Atlanta, but I would love to hear more.
Well, yes, okay, well, I think that would be a good thing for people to hear that, and we need to go ahead on and do that place. I'm going to do it here in Orlando. I'm going to get a place. It's going to be small and intimate. It'll be called the Return of Nat Turner, so because he's rare. People need to see him. He's rare. Mm. There's nothing like this on the planet. There's nothing like this. They need to see this, because I'm moving with a sense of urgency, we're probably going to do it within 3 weeks to a month. And we're going to have a little intimate settings for him to do this. But we got to do this in videotaping before we go. Not that we're going to leave anytime soon, but we're going to do it quick. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right,
you.
Les.
Thank
love you.
Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you. Bye now.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard Mr. Brown, and I tell you, he brought a message tonight that should inspire all of us to live our best life every day, because every moment is a gift. So, as you tune in, I want to give you information on how you can stay connected with Mr. Brown. If you go to Facebook.com, you can join and follow him at brown.less. That's brown.less. It's the Facebook page that has over, well, close to 300,000 on the page at this time. So please go and become a part of the community so you can find out information on what Mr. Brown is doing, as well as visiting his site, lesbrown.com. And during the week, if you want to stay connected with Les Brown's Platinum Speakers, you can start your week off on Sundays with Own Your Dreams with Ona Brown, Les Brown's baby girl, every Sunday, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join the conversation live at 404-355-8699, or you can log on at www.love860am.com or www.onabrown.com. On Tuesdays, you can join Hot Soul Topics from the Soul radio show with Valerie M. Parker every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call in number 760-913-4115, or you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/soul topics, or visit www.arisebyvnp.com. On the first and third Tuesdays, you can join Evelyn Polk, a.k.a. the Heart Lady, on blogtalkradio.com/Heart Talk with Miss E, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and the call-in number is 424-675-8303. For more information, visit talktomsme.com. On Wednesdays, you can get your free telecall at www.businessbootcamponline, 6 p.m. Pacific Time with Sean B. Arnold. And you can join her again at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on Wednesdays for Legal Biz Cafe on Blog Talk Radio. So all you need to do is log on to blogtalkradio.com/LegalBizCafe with attorney Sean B. Arnold. Trish Talks on www.intentionradio.com/Trish, T-R-I-S-H, hyphen Talks, T-A-L-K-S, at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night Pacific Time. On Thursday, Show Up for Your Life free motivational call with Mr. Andy Enriquez every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dial-in number 712-432-6100, PIN number 114431, pound sign. Or you can dial or join www.showupforyourlife.com, S-U-F-Y-L.com. Reserve your live coaching session with Ms. Anita Hicks and email her at anita@anitahicks.com or visit www.anitahicks.com so that you can reserve your spot for a free 30-minute coaching session. And you can join www.stacyncgrant.com for a free bonus for joining the mailing list and information on our upcoming programs and events. Thank you so much for joining Les Brown's Motivational Monday Night Call, your place for inspiration and motivation. We appreciate each and every voice. We thank you for taking the time out of your Monday evening to join Mr. Brown and to hear his message. As he said tonight and reminded us all that we must live our best life because why not you? Go out there, make it a great day, an awesome life, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing you again next week, Monday. This is Stacy NC Grant signing off. Bye-bye, everyone.